We are currently reading the Song of Solomon. We come today to chapter 2. Father, we pray that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin reading in chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. The woman says, you know, I'm just a regular flower. Nothing special about me at all. That's how she sees herself. The man in her story, of course, as we found out last time, would disagree with her completely. Because he says, no, you are a flower among thorns. In other words, he is saying, you're very special. You may not realize it, and maybe other people don't think of you that way, but I do. In effect, he is saying, you are selling yourself short. You know, he saw her perhaps better than what she really was. But that's the way love works, doesn't it? Love tends to overlook faults. And God certainly overlooks our faults, which are many. And he does so because he loves his Son, and we are in his Son if we are Christians. Verse 3, the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay with me. I should say, stay me with flagons. Comfort me with apples, for I am sick with love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand does embrace me. She says, concerning her man, he's like an apple tree in the midst of a forest. In other words, he stands out from everyone else, and he bears fruit. He's one in a million. He's one in a lifetime, is what she is saying. He is all that she needs for contentment. He's all that she needs to be happy. And Jesus should be that to us if we are Christians. There's something wrong if he isn't. Jesus is all that we need to be happy. Jesus is all that we need to be content. He is one in a million. No, one in, what is it, 100 billion? That's how many people have lived, I heard the other day, since the beginning of time. He is one in 100 billion. No one knows for certain that Jesus is all that they need until such a time as they get to the place, often through through unpleasant circumstances, that Jesus is all that they have. When you are down to Jesus, and there really isn't anyone or anything else to turn to, that's when you find out that he is all that you need. All that you need for joy and contentment. Verse 7, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till it please. The deer and the roes or the gazelles know the proper time to mate. And so the woman in this story says that there is a proper time to love and that people should know when it is. And according to Scripture, it is within the bonds of marriage. The physical act of making love is only appropriate within the confines of marriage, which, of course, is between one woman and one man. Verse 8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall and looketh forth at the windows, gazing through the lattice. And so the man comes to the woman. And just by reading these verses, you can see he comes eagerly. And yet, he comes gently. He stands by the lattice. He does not force himself upon her. He will invite her to marry him. Verse 10. My beloved spoke and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. He is asking her to marry him. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flower appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. In other words, it's spring. Let's do it. Let's get hitched. He's saying to her, the time is right for us to be married. Verse 14. O my dove, who are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. In other words, like doves build their nest, let's build a home together. Let's enjoy life together as husband and wife. And Jesus says, come unto me all who are weary, and I will give you rest. The Bible says that today is a day of salvation. Today is that day when all sinners should turn to Christ, find forgiveness, and enjoy our life together with the Savior. 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. You know, just because two people love each other and everything is great in their relationship and they enjoy being around each other and all that, that doesn't mean that they won't have trouble in this life, even if they're walking with the Lord. And the little foxes speak of that. Little foxes destroy fruit in the vineyard unless the farmer gets rid of them first. And so God's people must be ever diligent against the things of this world and the things in them that would destroy their relationship with God and with those whom God has given them. 16. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feeds among the lilies. In other words, she says, you belong to me. Even though you could have your choice of any woman out there if you wanted it, but you belong to me. 17. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. She says, in response to his invitation to marry him, her response right here, she says, well, you're going to have to leave now. And you're going to have to come back tomorrow. And make sure you come back tomorrow. But you'll have to wait until then. Now, doing the right thing at the right time is very important to this godly woman. And it should be important to all of us. Doing the right thing at the right time is important to God as well. You know, many times we ask for things which are proper, which are good, but God says no because the time is not quite right. The Bible says, in due time we will receive if we faint not. In other words, keep pursuing good things, keep praying for good things, and don't give up hope because God will bring it to pass in the right time and also in the right place. Now let's go into chapter 3. By night, on my bed, I sought him. She's having a little change of heart, isn't she? She told him to go away until tomorrow. But now, it's night, and she's seeking him. She says, by night, on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. And perhaps she is having second thoughts. Not second thoughts about marrying him. Second thoughts about turning him down and making him wait. The woman in our story, who was so deeply in love, laid awake wondering where her man was and how she was going to find him. What happens if something happens to him? God's grace and their relationship and his blessing on the relationship, in her mind, as she lays in her bed, seems to be falling apart. What? I mean, this thing could unravel. And so she feels strained. She feels pressure. And you know what? All relationships contain good times and bad. You know, when a person opens themselves up to love, there will also, at times, be sorrow and times of confusion. And these things can also occur in our relationship with Christ. But one must always remember that he is never at fault when they do. Verse 2, I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. She is in panic mode now, running around the streets in the middle of the night. You know, perhaps if she would have married the man when he proposed, she could have avoided this stress, and she certainly would have avoided the separation from him. People who grieve the Spirit of God by refusing to follow his leading will feel regret, and they will be grieved. People who grieve the Spirit of God by refusing to repent and receive Christ as Lord and Savior have it even worse. They bring real trouble upon themselves, trouble which could have been avoided had they listened to the Spirit of God. Verse 3, the watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? You know, many cities in those days had walls which were guarded by watchmen at night. And this woman is up in the middle of the night talking to watchmen, asking them if they have seen the one that she is searching for. Verse 4, it was but a little while that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her who conceived me. Verse 5, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till it please. So she found her man, and you can tell she wasn't about to lose him again. She grabbed a hold of him, and she took him home to meet her mother, because mothers actually used to arrange weddings in those days. And so evidently, these two became officially engaged at this point. Boy, she was quick to do that when she saw him again, wasn't she? She feared she had lost him for whatever reason. Reminds me of Mary, when Jesus arose from the dead, remember, on Easter Sunday morning, when Mary saw Jesus, the one that she thought she had lost forever. She grabbed a hold of his feet and just hung on for dear life. She would not let go. And often we don't appreciate what we had until we lose it. And sometimes by the grace of God, he allows us to regain it. And she regained the man she had lost, and she would never take their relationship for granted. Verse 6, Who is this that comes out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? And so the writer is describing a procession now. It was either a procession celebrating their engagement or a procession that was celebrating their wedding, one of the two, but it was a happy occasion. Verse 7, behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. And she has to be wondering, because this is what she's describing, you see. And she has to be wondering, what in the world is this all about? Because it looks to her like a military procession, a royal procession, in fact. Actually, it's her young man and his friends. See, her love, this man, is like a king to her. That's the way she sees him. And that's the way she chooses to describe his arrival. Verse 9. King Solomon made himself a chariot in the wood of Lebanon. He made its post of silver, the bottom of it of gold, its coverings of purple, the midst of it being paved with love from the daughters of Jerusalem. When King Solomon made something, as you know, if you've ever studied 1 Kings, that man used the very best materials. And this young man behaved like King Solomon. It was first class all the way for the woman that he loved. And of course, this points to us in Jesus. And Jesus deserves our very best at all times. We should treat him as our king, because that's who he is. Nothing but the best for our Lord Jesus Christ. That should be our motto as Christians. Verse 11, go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown with which his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. And so the writer invites the people to the celebration. This is a very happy occasion. It is a celebration of the love of these two people. Their happiness should be an occasion of joy for all who care about them. The Bible says that we should rejoice with those who rejoice, as well as weep with those who weep. In other words, we should care about people to the point that when they are happy, we are also happy. We'll pick it up in chapter 4 next time. Until then, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.